listen to this. And sometimes while on this way I kneel, and I stop and say thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. When I reach sweet heaven shore, let me kneel. Brother Kern, you want to come this morning? We bless with our tithes and gifts and offerings and all that we have to thank him for. Amen.
Heavenly Father, this morning, Lord, all we could do is thank you, Lord, Father. Lord, we thank you for not just bringing us here, for your grace and your mercy, Lord God. Grace and love, Lord Father, your prophet referred to it as twin sisters. He said you can't have one without the other. And we pray, Lord Father, that that grace, Lord, apply to us, bringing us into this house this morning, Lord, that it will continue to abide with us for when Brother Wade comes, Lord Father, not just to preach your word, but to give us a revelation, Lord, that could quicken these vile bodies, Lord Father. We pray, Lord Father, that you'll forgive us for anything we have done or said or hinder the moving of the Holy Spirit this morning. We pray, Lord Father, for your tithes and offerings, Lord God. We ask that it was used for the means of your ministry, Lord Father. Bless those also on the internet that they too may receive their portion, Lord Father. We ask that you undertake the remainder of the service, Lord, in your name. In Jesus' name we pray.
May be seated. Amen. The offering goes to the special offerings going to the brother who needs a truck and some help, Lord. We just ask you to come bless that offering. Amen. I love you, Lord. I love you. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King. Jessica, if you ever come.
Lily of the valley, let your sweet aroma fill my life. Rose of Sharon, show me how to grow in beauty in God's eyes. Fairest of 10,000, make me a reflection of your light. And I pray day stars shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Lead me, Lord, I'll follow anywhere you open up the door. Let your word speak through me and show me things I've never seen before, Lord. Only you can take what's wrong and make it right. And I pray day stars shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. I see a world that's dying, wounded by the master of deceit. They're groping in the darkness, haunted by the years of past defeat. But then I see you standing near me, Lord, shining with a passion in your eyes. And I pray day stars shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Lead me, Lord, I'll follow anywhere you open up the door. Let your word speak through me and show me things I've never seen before, Lord. I want to be your witness. Only you can take what's wrong and make it right. And I pray, Jesus, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Oh, dear Jesus, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night.
Let's all stand as we get ready to change over the service. Amen. Pray for my brother, Brother Wade here, the burden he has on preaching the seals. I remember carrying a cassette in the back of my car, Brother Dale's series, and it took up a whole cardboard carton case of what drinks come in. And I remember in the cassettes, I had an hour drive to work every day when I was listening through them, and I would play a tape coming and going. And I'm telling you, just to revisit the seals again, having a little more understanding, and what a blessing. What a blessing. We're getting to the place in the Word we're going to walk across. I believe that. There's no more Word to come. It's just revelation. And we need to pray for each other that we understand that this Word is truth. This is a life you have to live. It's God's life, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Holy words, long preserved for this walk in our world. They raise
bless you, brother. Appreciate you.
Oh, let the word of God impart.
Bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have each and every one of you here. Brother Donnie, you want to do responsive reading? Yeah, if you don't mind. I want to give everybody a chance. Let him do responsive reading. And I'll stand right here beside you. Okay. I want everybody to do their part. You have lights for that? I love it, man.
Good morning. It's good to see everybody here this morning.
Amen.
Had a little hiccup here this morning. That's okay.
We're all right.
Everybody having a good time? Feel a real soft spirit in here this morning. I can see the love. See the love. It's good to see my family again.
Amen.
Before we go to the Word this morning, we're going to be reading in one of my favorites, Isaiah 60. We're going to be reading 1 through 8, I think. Before we go to the Word, let's just thank Him. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day, Lord. We ask You to forgive us of our sins, most of all, Father, and bless those that couldn't make it through the door today. Whatever their hindrance is, Lord, You know what it is. Touch them, bless them, and be with them. And all the ones that's out there watching, Sister Trudy Mack and Sister Gail and all the other ones, Sister Anna, I'm sorry, and all those that are watching at home, bless You. You're still in our hearts. You're still with us, Lord. You're still part of us. And we ask, Father, that You just come down and grace us now with Your Holy Spirit and be with us. Forgive us of our sins. Thank You for Calvary, Lord. Thank You for the opening and the reading of Your Word. And we also thank You most of all, Father, for the blessed, special ministry that we have here in Lula. And thank You for Brother Wade and his bringing these, You allowing him to bring these seals, Lord. We just ask You to just let him speak those things You put on his heart, come across those lips You made of clay, and forgive him of his sins and bless him, Lord, and stand him up and use that vessel that he brought here this day for this service. We ask now, Father, and bless all the ones that's traveling and be with them. Grant them traveling mercies. Don't let them say anything or do anything to harm each other or anybody, and just be with them, Lord, and bless them. We ask now, Lord, as we go to Your Word, You come down and be with us today, Father, and reveal Your Word to us, Lord, because we need it more than anything. We ask it in Your name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Psalms. Oops. Where am I at here? Okay. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee.
For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee.
And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, the kings to the brightness of thy rising.
Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nurtured by thy son.
Then thou shalt see flow together, and thy heart shall fear, and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted into thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee.
Amen. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah. All they from Sheba shall come. They shall
bring gold and incense. They shall show forth the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are thee that flies a cloud and the doves of the windows? Amen. Thank you for the reading of the word. You make me see you.
Amen. Now, good to be in the house of the Lord. All right. Everybody, all is well. All right, remember this PM, we have another service starting at 3 o'clock. We will, between services, we'll have sandwiches for you to eat downstairs. And also, next Sunday, after one service, we're going to go down to my house and we'll have soup and sandwiches, or just sandwiches, soup. Weather permitting, my queen said. And we're going to be practicing this coming next Sunday, all right? Then the next Sunday is when we're going to have the competition. So we're going to be practicing with some 22 rifles and 22 pistols. I've got targets. It's got like 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. It's going to be, we're going to tally them up and see who can shoot the best. From what we saw before, the sisters will probably run away with it. It's kind of scary, Brother George, that a woman can shoot better than a man. Well, praise the Lord anyway. So on the 29th, we'll have the competition after first service the last Sunday of the month. Brother Luis will be speaking this coming Wednesday night. I'll be gone. I got some things I got to do and move some stuff around in Illinois and Kentucky, so I'm going to be gone Wednesday. We'll take a few days off. Brother Aaron is at Brother Tim Calhoun's today. Filling in for him and pray that he does a wonderful job for him and pray for him on, and all these that are coming back, Brother Joe and all the ones, Brother Ryan going on out, just pray for them and just remember them and pray. And we sure do appreciate them having the youth camps. I've been watching some of it online. They've done a real good job. Got some real good brothers out there ministering. And Brother Joe, I don't know if you saw it on the WhatsApp. You remember Sister Christine that had the kids that was from Congo that came here for a year or so? Well, some of the kids were at the youth camp. So they said to tell you hi, and this was their church, still their church. And they were out in Albuquerque out there working and going to church. So we sure do appreciate them. So let's turn our Bibles to Revelation 6, verse 1. And we'll continue the thought on the seals. There's a few things that's a little extra I want to bring out this afternoon. But today we want to kind of get everybody caught up and now. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. And a crown was given unto him, all right? Crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Brother Donnie's already prayed a good prayer, so you can be seated, and the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Amen. Matthew 24, verse 12 says, "Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Remember, Brother Ram talked about a cold, formal church in the end time, that the devil would creep in and make everybody just cold and formal. And Brother Brown even said powerless. Brother, let me tell you something, sister. God doesn't want a powerless church. He wants a church with power. And to have power, you've got to have responsibility to what? Study, read your Bible, come to church, do the things of God, and then God will honor you by giving you that power. You can't get it any other way. You can only be perfect. To me, power is perfection. Is everybody with me? Because it says, I'll give you apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists for the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying of the ministry. In other words, to give you power is you need God's knowledge, not the devil's knowledge, but God's knowledge, whether it's right or whether it's wrong. You got to discern that. And remember, the Holy Ghost is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, sometimes it doesn't take a prophet to interpret what you're thinking because your face kind of lets it show. Okay? So we don't want to we don't want to take too much time on that, but we still want to see that I was looking at some of I think it was the third tape that on Brother Dale when he preached the seals in 82. He said it's a wonderment that spirit is so strong that Satan, when those seals opened, it showed him where he was and exposed him. That spirit was so strong till it will deceive 99.9% of the whole world. Whole world. I'm talking about Jews, Gentiles, Muslims. I'm talking about Sikhs, Jains, whatever. He's going to deceive the whole world except for the bride. What a deception. Because it comes from his power of persuasion. All right? And we'll study that this afternoon, but I want you to think on that. That's how great these seals are to show that man of sin. Now remember, in time form, are you with me? In time form, you won't see that happen. That man of sin will sit in that temple when we leave here. But we got to see that remember, the temple is you. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Well, if you're not born again today, you are the temple of the devil. Well, praise the Lord anyhow. I mean, that's the truth. That's why today we have to know that we know that we know that we're born again. And if we have the Spirit of God working in our life, we're enjoying the things of God, not being a drudgery. If it's a drudgery to get up and come to church, then you need to get born again. Because the Holy Ghost, Brother Ram said, will come to church. All right? But iniquity is going to abound. What? Knowing the good, do good and don't do it. Now, remember, we were talking about the other day that these mystery of iniquity is religious. Okay? I'm going to slow down a little bit because I got all day. It's religious. So it's a religious realm where this iniquity comes from. All right? It's not out in the world. Satan's not worried about the drunks and the dope addicts and the prostitutes. He's not worried about it. He's already got them. They're brute beasts, the Bible says, made for destruction. But Satan wants to be worshipped as God, then he's got to be somehow like God, kind of like God, a little bit like God. So he's going to be in a church that God's there. All right. So now look. We know one thing's for sure. The seal is the Holy Ghost. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of your redemption. And it's the only revealer of the word. All right? You cannot understand. Now look, you can understand you're lost. You can understand you need different things. All right? But to get a revelation today at home, excuse me, at home listening to tapes, here, anywhere, you must have the Holy Ghost for it to be a revelation. And remember what Brother Dale said about a revelation. You can't talk somebody out of a revelation. Amen. You cannot talk somebody out of a revelation. Once you get a revelation, I mean, how many of you could let somebody from the outside talk you into being baptized in the titles Father, Son, Holy Ghost? No. Why? It's not just a formality. It's something we know, that we're a part of the family of God because our name is Lord Jesus Christ, the bride form, and we need to be baptized. If we're going to marry him, we've got to take on his name. All right? So nobody can talk us out of that. Well, you know what? Satan will move on after that. He'll go to something else. He's going to try to deceive you with the things. Now, come on, somebody. He'll deceive you with the things that you're weak on. Think about that. He's going to move on. He moves too. And as God moves up, he moves up. Because remember, he wants to be right there where he cannot be exposed. Because remember, he's not exposed to the world. He's exposed to the bride. The world just keeps on going, and they are going to actually worship him, thinking they're worshiping Jesus Christ. Everybody with me? So it took a message in the end time Good to see our brother back there, our sister's brother. Good to have you with us today. You haven't been here before, have you? No? He's not been here before? No? Okay. Good to have you with us today. Amen. Worship. Worship the Lord in the way you worship the Lord. Good to have you with us. But remember, you and I have got to get this right. All right? There's a formula for us to follow, and that's why we needed a prophet to come on the scene and put us in the right track. Now, remember, he's not going to make us believe. You've got it. That comes from your inner self. You have to be a believer and believe in your heart, the Bible says, and profess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we know where Jesus is. He's in our heart. He's not up in heaven sitting somewhere. Now, yes, he is, but he's not. He's in the form of the Holy Ghost. So he's in spirit form. He's here with us and in us. Right. All right, the corporal body is somewhere. It's not dissolved. And it's sitting somewhere on a throne. We know where it's at. It's in the seventh dimension. We know that for a fact. Because Brother Brown said, I want to see Jesus. And he said, well, he's a little bit higher. Remember when he went across the curtain of time? He saw all the saints, but he didn't see Jesus. All right? Because remember, Jesus is the only one that's reached immortality, which means once you were mortal, now you have that same mortality, but it's made eternal. Come on, that's what we're looking at. That's what you and I are facing today. We're either going to go by the grave and then it's going to have to be made immortal in the resurrection, or we're going to take that body change here and we're going to become immortal right here standing on the earth. All right? Now, that's what we're looking at. That's what the seals are for. The seals are not for to redeem your soul. It's to take your spirit realm where Satan is at also. There is where your mystery of iniquity is. If you're born again, it is not in your soul. All right, everybody okay? Now it is if you're not born again. It's not even iniquity. It's just sin. Because iniquity is, you remember last Sunday, you have been brought to a place to understand truth. And you turned it down. That's iniquity. And the bride, that's why I also was looking at some of the notes that Sister Christine had put them in book form. And I was reading where Brother Dale said that, he said, if you want to look for the man of sin, if you want to look for all that, he said, look in the message. That's the highest form. Now, if our faith is the highest form of faith, amen? If our faith's the highest form of faith, where do you think Satan wants to be? Right here. He don't want to be somewhere else. He wants to be right here. He is going to copy or mimic. That's why here stands a lamb with a book in his hand, and there goes a wild horse rider. That wild horse rider went out from under the truth. It wasn't a mean guy, you know, red and blood and big old long tail. That's what we portray the devil as. But the Bible tells us he was the most beautiful angel that ever. God made him, so he made him perfect. God didn't make him ugly. Listen, you can be the prettiest guy or girl ever walked on the face of this earth, and you can be ugly inside. Dad always said beauty is skin deep, but ugly goes all the way to the bone. I like to bring up some of his quotes every once in a while for some that didn't hear my dad. You really missed a treat, so in more than one way. So, but that was his quote, and always talking about take an old barn, put paint on it, still an old barn. So, praise the Lord. Anyway, we should not have to worry about that. All right. So look. So if the seal is the Holy Ghost, it's the only revealer of the word. All right. A revelation then breaks the seal, so that you can see what is under. See what's under that seal. All right, everybody with me? So it's got to connect. You got to have the Holy Ghost. Y'all made it back. Bless your heart. I really figured y'all would take a nap. It'd be fine with me. If y'all got in at 5, they got in at 5:30 this morning on an airplane from Dallas, Brother Ebenezer and his wife, and they're sitting here today. Amen. Thank you. So our revelation then breaks the seal, Holy Ghost. It's the only reveal of the word, so you got to hear the word, all right? You got to hear the word, and then your revelation breaks the seal to you. Now, let me make a statement here. There are people in the message that says that the seals are not open. That's exactly the truth to them. Because they said, well, they knew. We've been preaching on this for a long time. So they cheat. Yeah. Some's been listening for a while, so we know that when a man ever tells me that, which nobody's ever told me that before, but if a man ever tells me that, says, I think the seals are closed, I said, praise God, you're exactly right. But leave me alone because they're open to me. And if you want to hear something, you might ought to come and listen to somebody that knows they're open. Okay? Then you might get a different attitude. Usually, though, now listen, what is the devil? The devil wants to exalt himself, right? He wants to exalt himself above God or anything that's beautiful or godly, right? So what are the people that are saying, even in the message, are saying that the seals are not open? They're exalting their self above Brother Branham. Come on. Because they're saying, I'll open them for you. Come listen to me and I'll give you the revelation to open the seal. Well, see, that's Satan. That's the devil himself. When you get that attitude that you're better than somebody else, I don't care if it's a man walking on the street without the new birth, you ain't no better because you're a human being. It's just by God's grace that you've accepted something that man can have. Maybe you ought to try to give it to him instead of cutting him down. And well, praise the Lord anyhow. So look, we read in the book of Daniel where, now, who sealed that book in the book of Daniel? God did. Remember, God's the only one that can open a book. He's the only one that can close a book. He proved that in the book of Luke when he was sitting at the temple. He opened the scrolls, read in the scrolls where he was the one that was going to do these things. He identified himself in the word. Brother Bram said that was the greatest anointing. Listen, the greatest anointing that could fall today in this building is you realize who you are. Realize in Scripture who you are. Okay? Realize in Scripture who you are. Not that somebody says, well, now you're this great this or you're this great that. Find yourself in the Scripture. If you find yourself in the Scripture, see, that's a revelation. Okay? That's a revelation. So the Holy Spirit has something sealed from Daniel till now, because who sealed the book? The Holy Spirit sealed the book in Daniel. The Holy Spirit told Daniel, said, look, I'm going to seal this up until the time of the end. Well, if he's the one that sealed it up, Brother George, he's the one that's going to open it. So he did, through a prophet, he did. And the Holy Ghost then, as we see, Brother Brown's not here now. All right, everybody with me? But his voice is here. The voice is here to tell us what that seal is. And for us to keep that sealed in our heart. Seal up the vision. Okay? Seal it up inside of ourselves. Now, that doesn't mean that we have some private revelation and we got it and somebody else don't. No. Listen, what Brother Dale always say? If you have the new birth and eternal life, you immediately want to give it to somebody else. And that's what... Isn't that what Christianity is living for others, not living for yourself? Oh, thank y'all so much. We raised $800 to send that brother. That was from you guys, so I appreciate that. God bless you. It'll help him to get his motor back in his car. We'll let somebody else try to help him do the other, but thank you so much for giving. We appreciate that. And but remember, that's why we give. You can't outgive God. You can't. You can give him the last dollar, and if it's godly, then God will fill it right back up. Right. We've seen it happen many times where God will shut a door here somewhere in a job, and you'll think you're out of it, destitute, oh, woe is me, and then God will open the door better than the other one. Amen. That's happened to a bunch of us in here, okay? So listen, then where is our belief? Our belief is in what God's doing for us as individuals, but as a collective bride, because we've got, the bride has to be the same person. Is everybody with me? The bride has to be the same person. We are Jesus Christ made manifest in another form called the bride. But it's one person behind all this. But he's in a many-membered body using, as we were talking about Sunday, using your DNA, your, what your 400 years or ever how many 400 generations that God put together to bring you here today, he wanted to use that part of you. And it may not be nothing, but just like John the Baptist, he preached 6 months, and he's gone. Right. Amen. Didn't Brother Branham say he'd raise up a man and preach one sermon? Right. But that sermon will be so impactful until when he's gone that it'll resonate in others. Right. So that's the way God multiplies, by spoken word. Yep. All right? Amen. So the Holy Ghost is the only one that takes the seal off and let God speak from the throne to tell you what it says. Now, where is God's throne? Heaven is my throne. Earth is my footstool. Where is God's throne? It's in you. He's not sitting up there on some great big throne. He's in the throne of your heart. So by the fivefold ministry, though, you realize who you are, what you're doing here, and why you're here. Okay? Because you're here for a purpose. So now listen, we're going to get into it in just a minute right here. The whole book of Revelations is written in symbols, right? Or allegories, stories. Stories that are told that are like parables. The parable of the fig tree, which is Israel. Or the parable of the sower of the seed. The sower of the seed is the Son of Man, right? You know, Jesus had to explain to them what the seed was. The seed is the word. So there's an allegory instead of just coming out and saying, well, the seed is the word, I'm planting it in you, and it's going to come up and bring 100 million fold. All right? But see, God likes to do that to hide it from the wise and prudent and reveal it to babes such as will learn, which is all of us. We're not newborn babes, but we're babes. All right? Is everybody with me? All right? So these symbols are the allegory, is revealing a story that can be interpreted to reveal a hidden meaning. All right? So white horse rides out. Okay, it's a white horse. We know that horse means a power. It's something, that's what you drive in here on. You drive in here on horsepower, okay? And that derives from a horse pulling a weight, a one-ton weight, ever how many feet, ever how much time. Anyway, there's a formula for that. That's why I call it horsepower. So if you come to church today and you had a 400-horsepower engine, you had 400 little horses running around in that motor. No, it was the power that was in that motor, called horsepower. But the power came from your cylinders and your pistons and your gas and all that other stuff. And most of us that are driving newer cars, it's all electronic anyway. So we got electronic horses running around in there. So if you see a symbol in the Old Testament, look for the revelation or the story underneath. All right? Because when we're looking at the seals, as Brother Ram tells us here, everybody's worried about what the thunders are. Well, the thunder is the voice of God when the seal opens. That's all we need. All right? We don't need anything else, but we need to know that that's who's talking when the seal opens. Everybody with me? We need to know who's talking. So we need to know the voice of God is talking to you, not the voice of the devil. Because remember, Brother Dale always said, he said, we used to think God would just kind of say, oh, now, son, you be all right. Everything will be okay. He said, no, usually that's when the devil talks to me. He said, God says, shut up and do it. works my way. Takes all the guesswork out. So the thunder is the voice of God when the seal opened. So when Brother Branham was preaching the message, before that day, all right, before that day, there was a mystery of who that rider was. Now, there was speculation that it was the Holy Ghost. There was speculation that it was the Holy Ghost riding through the church ages and shooting his arrows of love and conquering, you know, conquering you, conquering everything. And it sounded really good. Brother Brown said, but my revelation by the Holy Spirit is Christ and the Holy Spirit is the self-same person, only in a different form. So here stands Christ the Lamb. We know he was the Lamb. Now, who was the Lamb of God? That was the Son of Man. If you don't get anything, remember one thing. We are in the Son of Man ministry right now. We're in the Son of Man ministry right now, which is God revealing himself, listen, in human flesh, to human flesh. Okay? Not just me standing up here. No, no, no. Remember, Brother Branham wasn't even the Son of Man. Why would I even think I'd be or you would be? But we're part of that ministry. And being part of that ministry, we get the what? The mind of God for that ministry to be able. See, remember, when we talk about Brother Branham on the sixth seal or on the questions and answers, he says, it's gone from you. It's not for you. This is not for you. Why was it for them? They weren't getting it. They didn't have something to get it with. You and I have got 60 years. 60 years. Almost 70, really, since the prophet left. And we've had 50 years of ministry in this church. Okay? What have we done with it? Are we still trying to get born again? That's great if you know you're not. But if we have to struggle with all these little things right now, I watched a preacher this morning, denominational preacher, big church. Didn't remember his name. But the caption was, preacher preaches on dress. And buddy, let me tell you something. He let them folks have it. And he was a Baptist, I believe he was. He let them have it. He said, you didn't come here, sisters, to find a husband, so don't dress like you want to find one. He said, now the difference I see is, he said, men, I don't ever have to tell you to pull your breech legs down. He said, but sisters, I have to tell you to pull your dress down. I mean, he was preaching from one side of the pulpit to the other. And that's what he meant. He said, this is not a place to put on something that you're trying to find something with. That's why we dress modest, because God is modest. We have on modest apparel because we come here to see God. We didn't come here to see each other. I love all of you. I appreciate all of you. You're the cream of the crop. You're the best friends I've ever had. But I come here to hear from God. Not by what you got on, except maybe Brother Daniel. Today's your birthday, isn't it? Then it's to right to pick on you the whole day. So, talk about loud. And I know he didn't do it to draw attention. But remember, most people dress to draw attention. Oh, come on, look out in the world. They dress to draw attention. They got that awe factor going. Yeah, it's awe factor to me. I'm like, oh, good Lord. And even the preacher said, he said, you turn your head over here, and he said, you see one over here? And he said, you try to turn your head, and you see one over there. He said, you look back here, and you see another one back here. He was letting them have it pretty good. There was a few of the sisters with their head down, because they were all standing up, and you could see the people behind him. But what am I saying? If we're still having to preach hair and dress, we're still under the Son of God ministry, and you need something. Okay, and I'm going to be, hate me if you want to. We got to come to the place to where that, when it was so natural for you to do that in the world, I want it to be so natural that you don't do it in this world. this bride world that we live in. Okay? That's why I said if we have to keep preaching on hair and dress, then we missed it somewhere. And there's always a group that's got to come up. Come on, folks. There's people that comes in the message, and you've got to lead them through that. But listen, God knows that. And he'll do that. My dad was a master at doing that. He was a master at cutting your head off, and you didn't realize it till the next day. But you know what a sharp sword will do? It'll cut you, and you don't feel it until later on you look at the blood running everywhere. All right? We had a sister here, Cindy. I mean, my Lord. She come in here with earbobs on and painted face and wore pants. Dad never sat there. I mean, he'd just throw little things in. He'd preach and he'd just throw little things in. Then all of a sudden, Sydney says, told Sue, says, I'm going to go get some dresses, right? I'm going to go get some dresses. Get some dresses? Yeah, I don't want to wear pants no more. She didn't have no lipstick on after a while. She didn't have them earrings that looked like fishing lures. She didn't have none of that. And it wasn't because somebody beat her over the head. I'd rather have somebody come that way than to sit here and pretend. Sit here and pretend that we've got everything right and go home and do something different. Listen, folks, that is iniquity. That is a hideous sin to God. You'd wish to God you'd never heard the gospel than to hear it, see it, and then go somewhere else and do something different. That's what we're talking about. The mystery of iniquity has now been revealed. Okay? Because we should have all the ABCs down. We should know what the church ages are. We should know what the Daniel 70 weeks and how to get the Holy Ghost and how to go up the statue of perfect man. And that should be common knowledge. It'd be something that when we move, we know what that movement is. Or when we listen to a sermon, we should know what that sermon's talking about. Listen, no, you're not going to know everything. Listen to, you're not going to know everything at one time. God is that, well, he's perfect. He knows what you need. So he gives you your little portion. But remember, what are you going to do with that portion? It's what's going to direct you on into your Christian journey. Listen, your human walk is one thing. But your Christian walk should mold together with your personal walk. That way there's no iniquity. Because if you live one way and come here this way, or you profess, that's all iniquity, because you know today, you know better than to do some of the things. And me too. Me too. I should study when I'm doing something different. Come on, somebody. I should be praying when I'm, anyway. Right. See, I know better. That's why the mystery of iniquity, it's in the bride. But it's pushing us into a rapture. It's pushing others into the foolish virgin. Because the foolish virgin are virgins. Okay? They're virgin to the word of God. They study, they read their Bible, but they've been blinded by false shepherds, Brother Ram said, or false preachers that says everything's good. It's like Brother Dale said. He said, the mystery of iniquity is in the bride. This was 1982. When they walk in here and tell you, you got a belt buckle, you got this upon your wall, you believe Brother Ram was a prophet, that's the mystery of iniquity. You know better than that now. You might not know better then, but you know better now. All right? So my revelation by the Holy Spirit is Christ and the Holy Spirit is the same person. He knew where that person was. That's what you got to find out. Where is that person? It's inside of you. So here stands Christ the Lamb. We know he was the Lamb, or the Son of Man. All right? Because remember, the Son of Man, sure, he was a human baby. Everybody understand that? And the Bible said he grew in grace and knowledge. He was made perfect. All right? So remember, it wasn't that his soul was imperfect. He came here with the right soul. He came here with the right spirit. But he was influenced by the world. But he never faltered. He never sinned one time. Right? So that's the Son of Man. Now, we know we were not born the right way, but we know how to get rid of that. Come on, you got to know how to get rid of that. God bless you, buddy. Had a friend pass away, so we know how those things go. We sure do pray for the family of anybody that's lost a loved one. If you can't pray for people, my heavenly days, you need an altar. We do need an altar call. But here we are standing today, the pinnacle of this message of the hour that we've almost all of us lived all of our life from baby all the way to today. And here we stand today knowing one thing's for sure. If we don't have these virtues working in our life, then we got work to do. Right. All right? So as we were born babies and we had to develop as human, Jesus was born a baby, had to develop, but when he got to that age, to where he could go in the temple, 13 years old or whatever more, or the age of accountability for each one of us sitting here today, then there was no more discussion about him growing. He went to the temple. When he got older, the Bible says, as his custom was, he went to church. All right, and that's what got him into the book of Luke. Then he opened the book. They handed him the book. He opened the book. He showed who he was. He didn't show who they were. He showed who he was. I am here to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Bind the brokenhearted and all that. Remember, and he shut the book back, handed it to the priest, and oh, I'd have loved to have heard that sermon. But Brother Ram said that was the greatest anointing. We're looking for anointings to where we got angels flying through the building. We got, you know, we got people shouting and speaking in tongues. Brother Ram said, no, greatest anointing is to know who you are. That when you open your book, read, study, pray, that you know who you are. Now listen, the devil's always going to be there to tell you you ain't that person. But when are we going to understand that, as this preacher said one time, every time he moves his lips, he's lying. The devil's a liar. So Brother Branham comes to the seals, and he's got the virtues working in his life. Listen, you can't preach something that you don't know anything about. You're a failure if you do. Okay, so you got to know what you know that you know. That's why we need a fivefold ministry, not one. We need a fivefold ministry that'll get at different angles and bring the same doctrine, though. Amen. All right, because we're going to look at something here in a few minutes that may seem strange to you, but this is the way I see it, and this is the way, if you'll look at it this way, then you'll see a better revelation of what you're doing here today. All right, so we know the white horse rider. We know he went riding out, and we know that's another person other than Christ. Amen? So it had to be who? The devil. Okay? It had to be the devil. Now, Brother Brown, he said, I'm positive. I love when somebody says I'm positive. He knows what it was, because if the revelation is contrary to the word, it isn't a revelation. And there's some of the stuff that can look so absolutely true and yet isn't true. There's a lot of things people preaching this message that looks so absolutely true, but it's not. Right. Remember, one word off got us out. One word off's not going to get us back in. So let's read one more time. We'll get started right here. And I saw when the Lamb had opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. Crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, last Sunday, we were talking about these living creatures. Now, isn't it strange that four combat beasts are going to give us the revelation of truth? Everybody with me? But Satan's going to use a beast over here to show everything's false, except him. Okay? Brother Bram said it was a beast in the beginning, it's the beast in the end. But these are living creatures. They're combat beasts. Lion, ox, man, and eagle. And we read these. We won't go through them, save for time. But does everybody understand? It's the lion, ox, man, and eagle. Right. All right, we showed the thing, and Brother Joe's working on a better one, so we're going to use it. We have a lion, we have an ox, a man, and an eagle. Well, each characteristics, and like Sister Julie and I were talking about, if you have a Scofield Bible, if you'll turn to Matthew, if you'll go to Matthew, and you'll look in his footnotes, he will tell you that Matthew is written under the lion anointing. A covenant king. The kingdom is at hand. Well, who's the king of the jungle? The lion. Matthew was bold. Matthew told us everything we needed to know from genealogy to death. Now, remember, some of the other ones don't show the genealogy. All right? Now, if you go to the book of Mark, all right, go to the book of Mark. You don't have to, because if you don't have a Scofield Bible, this ain't on here. But the book of Mark is the ox anointing, laboring. It's a worker, servant character, servant, and a gospel of deeds. That's in the footnotes of Scofield. So what's an ox? It's a worker. All right? Now the man anointing is who? Now, this was what really struck me when Brother Dale preached this a long time ago. What was Luke? He was a physician. He was a smart man. He had a man anointing. Amen. He was a man. And Luke is the gospel of the human divine one. Now, what's the third? Man. Lion, ox, man. All right, the man anointing. How entirely human Jesus was in the book of Luke. And remember, there's certain things in each one of these, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that are different. Now, remember, they're not different, but they go at a different angle. Luke doesn't start with a genealogy. No, Matthew did, to tell you how bold, how that Matthew told you everything that went on. Now, if you go over to John, go over to John. Now, remember, the last one is an eagle, prophetic. John starts chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who is he talking about? He's revealing Jesus Christ. The eagle anointing, the incarnation of the eternal Word, the Son of God himself, the eternal Word incarnate in Jesus the Christ. And John, do you know John, a lot of John, most of John is at the Last Supper and afterwards. St. John 17, and then there's 15, 16, 17. That's him praying for us. That's after the communion was done. Everybody understand that? Others don't cover that. But you see that even the anointings are correct in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So we use that. Listen, when you read it, that's what you use. You use the anointing of the lion, the ox, a man, and eagle, because it's the Holy Ghost. Okay. I told him I wouldn't run off. Josh is my controller back there. Just don't be swatting flies or I'll stop. Yeah. Luis is sending him a message telling me to slow down. So, well, praise God. Say, everybody say amen. Amen. But these four combat beasts are given for you to make it as a Christian. Okay? The boldness of a lion, the laboring of an ox. We've been here a long time. The shrewdness of a man. It's okay to be a man. But it's not okay to have man's knowledge. We got to have God knowledge. But remember, as I've said many times before, how are you going to know what you know without reading it or hearing it? Think about that. You're not going to know it. You can't just, as I said before, many people, they say, well, I pray that God give me a job. Now, don't sit on your couch eating chips and watching TV that you shouldn't have. And then say, God, why didn't you send me a job? It's kind of like the story of the man that was stranded on the rooftop, remember? It said, the boatman came by, and this one came by, and that one came by, and the guy died, and he went to heaven. He said, God, he said, I, I asked you to come help me. He said, I sent you three people by. You turned them all down because he didn't come the way he wanted them to come. Right. See, that's why we got to lose. Listen, I'm going to get in trouble. Brother Branham saw a way of the seals open that was wrong. Come on. But when it was revealed to him, the truth, it didn't do anything to him except turn him to that truth. Okay? Didn't make him mad. Didn't make him upset. He didn't leave the message. Hello, somebody. He just said, God, thank you for giving truth. Thank you for giving a seventh grade education man the truth and to have the character to receive it. Do we have the character to receive truth? Because remember, truth hurts. Everybody with me? Truth hurts. So we take the lion, ox, man, and eagle. So we know what's going on. Lion, ox, man, and flying eagle. And we know that you and I are in that eagle anointing and there's no babies involved. They may be baby in baby form, but they don't drink milk. They start off eating strong meat. Remember, we talked about that last week. A lion is as strong as a lion can be. When he's a baby, he's got to drink milk. An ox is strong and as pulling powers he's got, he starts out drinking milk. Man is strong and big and fat as we are. Praise the Lord. I had a little bit of milk this morning. But I ain't going to have it all next. I ain't going downstairs. I'm going to eat me some meat. But a man begins out what? Drinking milk. But now an eagle don't have any milk glands at all. There's no way for them to produce milk. God made that bird a separate way. To where mama eagle goes and gets the revelation. Finds the quotes. Come on, somebody. Finds the anointing. Finds what her little kids need, and she don't choke them with the whole rabbit, Brother Daniel. She takes a piece that she knows they need, and she chews it, studies on Saturday. I studied Friday, studied a little bit Saturday, studied a little bit last week, and then I'm not going to shove it down your throat either. Mama Eagle's going to put it down as far as she needs it to go, and then she backs up. Now it's your job to eat it. It's your job to grow. It's your job to get out of the nest and become a flying eagle, not an eagle that sits on his can all the time and doesn't do anything. God wants motion. He wants movement. All right, now look. When the Lamb took the book and broke that first seal, God spoke from his eternal throne to say what that seal was to be revealed. Now watch. But when it's placed before John, it was a symbol. All right. When John saw it, it was still a mystery. It wasn't even revealed right then. It cannot be revealed until what he said here at the end time. But it come in a symbol. All right. When the thunder, remember, a loud clapping noise of thunder is the voice of God. All right? They thought it was thunder. Remember in the Bible, they thought a loud clap thunder, but what was it? It was God speaking. Did that to Jesus when the loud, he heard. Are we hearing the thunder or the voice behind the thunder? Because the thunder can get everybody's attention. But what God speaks through that still small voice is what you need and I need. So it's individual. The thunder is an individual affair with God. It's not, they made it everything in the world, but it's all been perversion. Right. It's all been a perversion. Two souls, seven people that's supposed to be preaching, and all seven of them are dead. So what are we going to do? Right. There were seven men many years ago, picked their names out, and they said, this one, right? They're all dead now. Right. That don't mean them that they're not Christians. I'm just saying they got the wrong revelation. I don't know. Maybe we need a number 8. I don't know. But they're all dead. So if they were the voices that were supposed to tell us what to do. See, that to me, that comes back to, you got to listen to me. Because I'm one of them seven voices. So you got to come to my church and listen to me. Now, that's what they said. And that wasn't of God. That was not the revelation. God wants to speak to you with a voice that the world may hear a thunder, but you're going to hear what the voice of God says. And notice the first seal opened. When it was opened into symbol form, it thundered. Now, what about when it opened in the reality form? Now, let me cover this real quick. Remember, the seals has a spiritual form and a natural form. All right? The spiritual form is what you and I are to get right now. Because, listen, the first seal shows the man of sin sitting in the temple of God showing himself that he is God. We better not be here when that happens. That's after the rapture. So that's what Brother Ram said. We're getting it in symbol form now. But when it really opens into reality form, the bride will not be here. Everybody with me? All right? If you see that Pope go over there and sit in the temple in Jerusalem, you missed it. It won't be a mystery then. You have missed it. And then all hell's going to break loose after that. Everybody with me? Okay? So let's do that real quick. If you'll listen to this, you'll understand what this whole message is about. Brother Bram lays it out right here. Now, here's the plan of it. Now, this is God's plan. The first thing happens, there's an announcement in heaven first. There's an announcement in heaven first. Seven angels in Arizona showing the prophet to go back to Jeffersonville. They didn't tell him anything in Tucson except return back. Because remember, I may get in trouble for saying this. Those angels couldn't give Brother Branham a revelation. Only God can give. God met that man those days of the week when he was back in Jeffersonville. It wasn't angels. It wasn't the birds. It wasn't the doves and all. That's all symbol. Symbols. Listen, that's a symbol to tell me that it's right. Man didn't have anything to do with that. Listen, I don't care what they think about it. There's no rocket can make that much vapor. Cloud, what vapors are? It's cloud. It's water forming in clouds. But how can that thing stick together for hours and it be photographed from Arizona all the way across and it stays together? You look at a cloud and you say, man, that looks like a rabbit. Then about 3 minutes later, it just looks like a cloud because the rabbit's gone. Why? Because it's all moving, atmosphere. And they proved it was 26 miles high. That's way above what a cloud is. Listen, that was God turning us and showing us, this is my man. Amen. If you didn't believe him before, you better believe him now. That's right. Now I put my soul on that. Right. So what happened? A seal is open. A mystery is unfolded. And when a mystery unfolds, a trumpet sounds. Now we're going to cover that in just a minute. So when a mystery unfolds, a trumpet sounds, right? It declares a war or a plague falls and a church age open. What is the war part? The angel of the church, Luther, Wesley, Paul, Irenaeus, Mark, all the ones you see back here, they caught the mystery of God first, then they give it to the people, all right? But when he does, now watch. What is the war part? The angel of the church catches the mystery of God, not fully yet revealed. But when he does, he catches this mystery of God, then he goes forth to the people. After the mystery's been given to him, he goes forth to the people. What does he do out there? He begins to proclaim that message, and what does it start? A war, a spiritual war. And remember, what's paralleling now is all this natural war. Listen, folks, if y'all don't think it's getting close, Brother Brown said, whatever you want to say, he said, when Russia comes down for the oil, you watch. Now, if we as the United States take over Iran, we're going to have about 60% of the oil production in the world. That's what we're doing. We're dismantling a government to put in ours. We're not spending, they're saying it's $1 billion, $1.3 billion a day this war is costing the United States. Now, Trump yesterday is calling everybody else around him to join, to go into that Strait of Hormuz and keep it open so that what can flow? Sugar, water, clothes, what? Oil. Well, praise the Lord. Who's going to, if we take over the Strait of Hormuz, we got the oil. We can charge whatever price we want back and forth. Wow. It's the end time, folks. Amen. Then God takes the messenger with the elect of that age and lays them away asleep. Then he drops a plague on them who rejected it. All right, Luther's message. When Luther preached, that was God talking. All right? But what happened after Luther died? There was a group of people that stayed with him because they carried on the voice of the messenger. But some didn't. Satan got involved, but a plague fell on those who rejected. What is a plague? A denomination. That's the plague. That's what's plaguing our whole world is denomination. Amen? A temporary judgment. And then after that is over, then he goes on. They denominate and bring in denominations and start off with that man's work, like Wesley, all the rest of them. Then he gets all scrappled again. See, listen, we as human beings can't hold a doctrine without the Holy Ghost. And if our anointing is to hold only a certain part, that's all we're going to be able to hold. You and I are not that way. You and I are required to take the full word of God, that full headstone. Yes, what you and I are not required just to know that it's not the water baptism in Jesus' name is right. That's not, that's first grade. Right. Kindergarten. Right. So when he goes and they denominate and starts off with that man's work, Wesley, then gets all scrappled up and another mystery comes forth. Wesley or Luther come to Wesley. Then what happens? Another messenger arrives on earth for a church age. Then when he arrives, the trumpet sounds. I want you to understand something. I think somebody, we're all caught up in the shout, voice, trumpet. Remember, a shout is a message, a voice is a message, and a trumpet is a message. It's a higher form of that same message. Because remember, Brother Bram said what? Shout. Hey! What does that do? It makes you turn. What? It turned us, it turned our hearts back. It turned us to the right message. Then we heard the voice of God. Now that trumpet is you and I. Amen. That's the message going forth now, today. Yes. It's a gospel trumpet, Brother Brown said. It's a message. Yeah. I'll read it to you right here. When the trumpet sounds, he declares war. Then what happens? Finally, he's called away. And when he's laid away, plagues fall. See, listen, when we go home to be with the Lord, what's going to happen? Plagues are going to fall. But remember, there's not another church age, so there's not another, all right, I'm going to give this much to this person. It's done when we're done. Then a plague falls, destroys them. Spiritual death hits the church. And she's gone, that group. Then he goes on to another. Now, first seal, Brother Brown said, look, notice trumpets means political disturbance or wars. So there's never been a trumpet made that started a war. So it had to be a message. Remember what Brother Bram said? When the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, what? An uncertain message. All right? You hear of wars and rumors of wars. We got that now. But trumpet denotes political disturbance. That's what's going on over there now. Whereas seals deals with religious disturbance. I want this to be the one of... I want this to be the most disturbing message you've ever heard in your soul. To stir you up and to get you to see that we are a product of iniquity. If we don't get it gone, we're going to be iniquity and we're going to stay here until the man of iniquity sits in the temple of God. Well, get quiet if you want to, but that's the truth. A seal is opened, a message is dropped. And then the church is always so set up in its own political ways and whatever more, and all of its dignitary. And when that real message drops down, that messenger goes forth. He's talking about himself. He shakes them to pieces. That's right. It's religious disturbance when a seal opened. That's what happened. All right, let's continue on. This is on the seventh seal. Brother Branham said, look, he shall send forth his angel. This is in Revelation 14, I believe it is. With a great sound of a trumpet. Sound. What is it? When God gets ready to speak, there's a sound of a trumpet. It's a message. That's always his voice calling to battle. Where's the battle? Remember, it's a religious battle. It's not a natural battle. It's a religious battle. What causes a religious battle? When somebody stands in the pulpit and said, you're living wrong. You're baptizing in the wrong name. That's what I said many times before. We can quote every preacher in the world except Brother Branham. When you call his name, there's something. What is it? It's the message that he stands for. It's the truth that he stands for. And when God gets ready to speak, there's a sound of a trumpet. That's always his voice calling to battle. See, God speaks. These angels will come forth with the sounding of the trumpet. He's talking about the trumpets to Israel. But remember, we get the trumpets too. We get the sound. Because watch. And you notice at the last angel's message, the trumpet sounds. A message. Because Brother Brown preached uncertain sound. And the Bible tells us when the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, get away from it. Or what are you going to believe? Well, it's a message. The first angel's message, a trumpet sounded. Second angel's, a trumpet sounded when he sent it out. So it's got to be a message. But here's where everybody gets hung up. Brother Brown says that the coming of the Lord is in a shout, voice, and a trumpet. Everybody with me? All right, listen, pay attention. We'll stop right here. We'll have time. We'll get some more this afternoon. Now watch, Brother Brown said, therefore the message calls the bride together, see, the shout, all right? The shout, calling them together. But now it's not just calling you together. It's got to give you something to hear. And the trumpet, the same one, he, with a loud voice, he screamed out with that shout and a voice and woke Lazarus. With a loud voice, he cried, Lazarus, come forth. And the voice wakes up the sleeping bride, the sleeping dead. All right? And the trumpet with the sound of a trumpet. Now watch. And when it does, it calls. Calls. It's a message. The shout's to get you in the message. The voice is to keep you in the message. And the trumpet is to get you to a place where none of these others have been. It's a higher form of a message. And listen, only the bride will hear that trumpet. And what does a trumpet do? It calls you together. Always a trumpet called Israel to the Feast of Trumpets. See, which was a Pentecostal feast, the great feast in the sky, and the Feast of the Trumpets. Now, a trumpet, now watch, do announce. So there's a message. You listen, the world's looking for boop, 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 boop. Right? That shout, voice, and a trumpet, they're not even, we're going to be gone before they even think about anything of that, any religious realm. They're not going to know a thing about that. But we're under all three right now. All three. We've heard the shout, we've come in the message, and now that trumpet's going to signal us out of here. It's going to be a resurrection message, not a resurrection trumpet. It'll be a trumpet, but it'll be a message to gather us together, bring the dead saints out of the ground. That's a message. Come to, now the trumpet do announce a calling together, come to the feast, and that's the Lamb's Supper in the sky. The only way we're going to get there is by hearing the trumpet. No other way. So now Brother Brown continues on here in the Mark of the Beast, 1961. He's talking about the first angel, Revelations 14:6. The first angel had sounded the trumpet of the gospel. The Well, the trumpet and the gospel is the same thing. It's just a higher form. You hear, are you understanding me? Shout brought you in. Man, I ain't never seen nothing like this before. But now remember, if you're not part of that voice, you'll leave. We've seen people get all hooked up with the, I ain't never heard nothing like this, sit right here on this front row and clap their hands, and I ain't never heard nothing like this. A few months, a few years later, gone. Not even in a church anymore. Well, not even in a, they're in a denominational church, but we've seen that. But you and I, sitting here today, I hope we've heard the voice of the message from God through a prophet to a fivefold ministry to sound the trumpet that we're getting out of here. The right people in the right place with the right message. We have a gospel trumpet just for us. What is the gospel? The good news. So the gospel had the everlasting gospel to preach to all the world. That's the first angel, sounded the trumpet of the gospel. And that's what happened in every church age. Amen. It was a trumpet sound. So what's a trumpet do? It gathers you together. What's gathering us together today? In this building today, as far as I know, we all believe in the message of the hour. We all believe God sent a prophet. That's why we're here. It's a trumpet that sounded years and years ago. For some, for others, maybe just a few months. But you're going to hear that. But you know what you're going to hear? If you turn it down, all you're going to hear is noise. And it's going to meet you at judgment. But it won't be a noise. It'll be a voice. It'll be a voice that will find you. That's why you and I don't stand judgment. If we go through the shout, the voice, and the trumpet, and we take a body change, we don't go to judgment. We don't go to the tribulation period. We've been judged already. What judged us? The voice and the trumpet. The shout brought us in. The voice is judging us now. And that trumpet, listen, we're not going to go to the graves and go, boop, 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 boop. No, it's going to be a message that nobody else is going to hear. Even if they hear the noise, they're not going to know what's going on. It's a secret. It'll be a secret catching away. Let's stand to our feet. It'll be secret. But the trumpet will be something, Brother Kern, you and I can hear. And no one else will get it. Somebody be sitting right beside of you not getting it. And you can hear the loudest trumpet in the world. If you don't know what it's sounding, it's just noise. Have we just brought it to noise? It's not noise. It's a life. It's the voice behind the sign. The gospel trumpet that's sounding today to get us ready for a rapture. To get us ready for that time of resurrection, it will be the voice of God in the bride. Didn't Brother Brown say, he said, the same loud voice that resurrected Lazarus will one day say, come up. Well, it ain't going to be Jesus in human form. It's going to be Jesus in bride form. And we're not all going to have to go out to the cemeteries. I just don't believe this. I just believe that something will click one day and we'll be preaching a message. Maybe not me, somebody else. We'll be preaching a message and all of a sudden in the doors come. Brother Dale. Brother Mo, Brother Richard. Brother Gary. All the different ones. I don't want to miss somebody, so I'll stop right there. Brother Tom. Sister Hazel. They just come walking in. And, hey, you know what? They don't even have to open the door. Jesus didn't have to when he had a glorified body. Right? That's what I believe is going to happen. But you want me to tell you something? We better be in the right place. Brother Dale's told us many, many times. He said, if you got a bus ticket, you better not be at the airport. Even though you paid for it, the ticket says you're going to California. If it says bus, you better be at the bus station. You can take it to the airlines down there, and they'll go, buddy, you're in the wrong place, right? And Brother Ram said, being in the wrong ranks, place, at the time of the rapture is no excuse. We have no excuse. This is a dreadful place, the house of God, but it's the most wonderful place. When you can release what you got, let it go. Get it out of you so that you can walk in newness of life. Let's sing a song. God bless you.
God is good
all the time. He puts a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good
all the time.
His light will shine. God is good.
Is he?
My God is good all the time. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good.
If you can't see it, listen, we all have problems. We all have trials, tribulations. Kids are wayward, our husband, our wife. We always got some little something that picks on us all the time. God is still good. He give you life. He got you up this morning. He gave you His Holy Spirit so that you can stand and testify. Even in the bad, we hold our hand up and hold our head up and we say, God is good. All the time. Listen, God can't change. If He's good one time, He's going to be good all the time. Amen? You love the Lord? All right, we're going to go downstairs and eat some sandwiches and fellowship a little bit and rest. We'll be back at 3 o'clock. God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. Thank you so much for being attentive. We are we're trying our best to get us. We got to get somewhere where we can see. So we can see that we are that eagle anointing. Brother Branham didn't go up there all by himself. Now, there's certain place he went that we can't go. We're not all prophets like he's a prophet. But remember, he called us eaglets. He called us Messiahettes, which means we're in the part that we play is under that eagle anointing. Listen, if we're under an eagle anointing, it won't do us any good to be an ox, just an ox. Won't do us any good to be a bird. No, we need to be eagles. We're under the eagle anointing. The eagle anointing is strong meat. Fly high. Listen, be able to see revelation. All four directions. Lion can't see very far. He's very strong, but he can't see over the bushes. Right? He has to depend on his strength to make it through. You do too. But the ox anointing is the same way. An ox can only see so far. A man, oh yeah, we can make things like airplanes and all that, and we can get up higher, but it's man-made. Eagles are not man-made. Eagles are God-made. Amen? They don't need a pressurized cabin to get as high as they are. They are the pressurized cabin. Why? Because it's been inside of them the whole time to fly that high. And that's the same way with you and I. We're pressurized for this day. It's horrible to be out in the world. But when we sing God is good, if God's good and He's inside of you, that makes you good. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, bless the food as we go downstairs and partake. Be with each one, Lord, as they travel. Ones that are traveling home from Oklahoma and different places, Brother Ryan going on out to New Mexico, Lord, different ones. Father, just forgive us of our sins and mistakes. Be with Brother Aaron there at Brother Tim's. Lord, just bless each one, Father. Just give us today, this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our trespasses, Lord, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed until we come back 3 o'clock.
So unworthy, still for us He chose to die.
You come up here at 1:30 if you're going to sing a song, part of the song. Be here at 1:30.
We are sinners.